Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to praise your name, and we pray that you would be with us as we look at your word. We thank you that you are a delivering God. We praise you that your grace is sufficient for us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, we're going to read verses 1 to 10, and then focus in particularly on 9 and 10. Second Corinthians 12. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." If you think of the context of that little section of 2 Corinthians, we recognize that it comes in the middle of a relationship that's a bit strained between Paul and his converts, really, in the city of Corinth. You remember that Paul spent quite a while in this city. These are his spiritual children. He loves them. But it's a complicated relationship. He's had to correct them pretty severely at times. It's clear that there were people in the church who resented him. We see much of that in 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians, if anything, gets a little more tense. We're introduced to some super apostles in 2 Corinthians 11 who came into Corinth and began to teach that Paul really wasn't that impressive a guy. Came along and said, "He's not really that great an apostle. Do you see how weak he is? He isn't impressive. He's not a particularly good speaker. He doesn't have that many converts, or at least not many impressive ones. He's poor. He's disreputable. Do you know he's been in jail?" They're able to point to themselves and say, "We are the real authorities here, not that guy." And in chapter 11, Paul really does kind of respond to them. He really does kind of begin in chapter 11 with some boasting. He mentions his own qualifications. He was a Pharisee. a student with great teachers of the law. He mentions his background. But then he turns to boast of his weakness, of his sufferings. He says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness, beatings, shipwrecks, sleepless nights. The beginning of chapter 12, what we just read, there's kind of a veiled boasting where he's saying, oh, I know this guy who had some revelations from God. I think we can all imagine that guy was Paul, right? But he's kind of veiling it on purpose. He turns to talk about the thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that was, but some kind of physical affliction, maybe, or perhaps a besetting sin, something he longed to be out of his life that God left there. And it's a reminder to Paul that in his weakness, Christ shows his strength. It's a little bit of the context, the background. I want you to look at verses 9 and 10 again. I know they're familiar, but look specifically at those. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I want us to look at three things. First point, all Christians are weak. It's our first point. All Christians are weak. In this context here in chapter 12, Paul is pointing to his thorn in the flesh. He's pointing to his afflictions, the many things that he has suffered. But he could point to more than that. He could point further back. Christians recognize that they are in need, that they're slaves in need of deliverance. If we think back to this morning, remember, that's the foundation story of Israel and of the people of God. It's not a story of our great ingenuity and power. It's not a story of we were so great that God chose us. It's a story that you are weak and you recognize that. That's the case for every Christian. In fact, you can't be a Christian if you don't realize that you are weak, unable to save yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, so letter before this. Verse 26, Paul wrote this to the believers. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Throughout history, Christianity has often been despised as a religion for the weak. It was despised in Paul's day, in Rome, as that. We have accounts of different Roman administrators, antagonists to Christianity, saying, look at your religion. It's just made up of a bunch of weaklings and slaves. The intelligent people don't believe this. Well, in many cases, that's how Christianity is viewed today. A religion for those who are uneducated and foolish. And Paul, in that passage in 1 Corinthians 1, seems to be making it clear that it is easier for evidently weak people to admit their weakness before God. But even the strongest person is deeply inadequate, is weak. It's important for us to remember that. Sometimes Christians feel that we have to appear strong. There are lots of things that I like about church, which is good, because I come here a lot. But one of the things I dislike is that it's often a place where people feel that they have to pretend that everything's fine. We're all, like, you know, nicely dressed and can usually whip our kids into shape for an hour, you know, pretend that everything's fine. But sometimes we get the impression that admitting weakness is kind of dishonoring to God. Paul says, I delight in weakness for Christ's sake, because it makes much of him. Just imagine this situation, that you really are struggling deeply, feeling a sense of your weakness, and someone asks you how you are, and you say, I'm great. I'm fine. No complaints. But we all understand why we do that, right? I mean, we don't necessarily want to just, like, break apart in the pew as someone is just asking us a polite question. We get that. But think of that situation, and then think, okay, how much glory does that give to Christ? None, really, right? It's just a brief, momentary, polite interaction. But how much glory does it give to Christ if we admit, I'm barely holding on? I'm crippled by discouragement, but I believe that Jesus will hold me fast. That makes much of him. This be an encourage to us. Don't be ashamed of weakness. All Christians are weak. But our second point, going along with that, is all Christians are strong. Notice Paul says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. It's a little bit of a paradox, right? When I'm weak, I'm strong. But it's not some indiscernible riddle that we could never figure out. It's not somehow my weakness is really my strength. No, Paul simply is meaning here, when I recognize my weakness, then I turn to the God of all strength. If I just try to go it alone, go on my own, I will be weak. If I admit that I can't, then I'll rely on the one who can. This made me think of an example of a child, little child, trying to accomplish some task. I don't know, something simple, just carrying a chair across a room or something. You can be standing there watching the child, and they can't carry it. Maybe they can move it a little bit, drag it a little distance, but they can't, and you just stand there and watch. And they keep trying and trying, and finally, after much discouragement on their part, they turn and say, help. Well, how strong is that that child? Well, they're not in themselves. On the other hand, the child is as strong as the parent who comes to help them. The resources of that parent are at their disposal. If it were me, I would have never moved that chair but for the child's request. So really, that child is as strong as I am when it comes to moving the chair. Paul is calling us to admit our weakness and call on God. And I'd encourage you to think in terms of specifics there. Think in terms of a family situation that you can't unravel. Think in terms of that habit that you can't break. Admitting your weakness, saying, I can't do this, and calling on God for his strength. Think in terms of that discouragement that won't go away. Instead, calling on God for his help. There's no other strength in this life. Relying on God is our strength. So we saw first that all Christians, are weak. Second, all Christians are strong. And our final point. This is the one that was probably most striking to me in those verses by Paul. Delight in your weakness and the strength of God. It's possible for us to admit our weakness, but hate it. But Paul says, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Sometimes, especially with familiar verses, it's just easy to read over them very quickly and say, okay, yes, Paul is saying something positive about all these terrible things. Think about what he's saying, though. He's experienced those things. And he's saying, I delight in them. I delight in weaknesses. Not for their own sake. It's not just he loves the pain of these things. That's really fun to him. But he delights because he loves Christ, and our admission of need makes much of him. Can you say that? If you think to your own weaknesses, I delight in this weakness. A frustrating physical condition. I delight in that hard relationship. I delight in mental anguish. I delight in a besetting sin. Paul is calling us to delight in the things that drive us to Christ. Once again, thinking back to this morning, we looked at the story of the people of Israel and the story of believers being rooted in slavery. There's part of me that doesn't really like that. Right? Part of me that would prefer a story that made me look a little better. The story that made me look a little better won't make him look better. Once again, as I was thinking of this, example came to mind in terms of film. Think of someone putting together a movie, and let's say it's some kind of rescue movie. Let's narrow the genre even better. Okay, this is a firefighting movie. And the star actor is the great firefighter who's going to kick down the door and rescue the people from the house that is burning down. And those people in the room, fire is coming in and house burning up. Those people are just kind of the extras right? They're there, they're helpless in the burning building waiting for the hero. And imagine if one of those extras went to the director of the film and said, you know, I really don't like my part very much. It doesn't make me look very good. I look kind of helpless in the room. And I would really rather look very resourceful. In fact, if you could make me make a lot of good decisions in the burning room, and, you know, basically save myself, that would be really good. And then the hero could show up at the end and just kind of like open the door for me, and I could walk out. I like to imagine, I don't have any experience on a, you know, movie set, but I like to imagine how the director would respond to the extras asking for just, you know, a small rewrite of their part. Could we maybe make me look a little less helpless? I think he'd say, no, the point was that you looked helpless. Because the point of the movie isn't to make you look good. It's to make the star who's kicking down the door and rescuing you look good. In fact, the more helpless you look, the better for that. The more helpless you look, the better he looks. Maybe if we have that kind of perspective, honestly, the more helpless I am, the better he looks. Perhaps that would change the way we think about our weakness. Maybe change it enough that, like Paul, we could actually delight in our weakness. Say to God, this is me. Here's all my weaknesses. Here's an opportunity for your strength. Praise God for that. So as we look at Paul, we see him rejoicing in his weakness. May that be part of our weakness. Recognizing our weakness, admitting it in appropriate ways for the glory of Christ. May we find strength in Christ. When you are weak, then you are strong, because you're relying on Him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who is the great deliverer. And we come before you and we confess, Lord, that often we really would prefer to do more of the delivering ourselves. We pray that you would help us to rejoice in our weakness. Rely on our Savior. Find comfort in the truth that He will never leave us or forsake us. Pray these things in Jesus' name.